Let us go into the world. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you've so richly given unto us upon your resurrection, and our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning, and we declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue that series we started a few weeks ago, which is a series on what? Prayer, the art of prayer. And what we're trying to examine from scriptures is, what does the Bible really teach about prayer? And what is the reason we pray? And why do we pray? And what do we refer to as long prayer? Why do we pray for long? Or let me say it this way. Why do we pray? Then why do we pray for long? You know, there are two different questions, right? You know, why do we pray is a question. Why do we pray for long is another question. But the saint needs to know why he or she is called into prayer, or why we are called to prayer. So we started looking at what happened in the book of Acts, and we saw from last week into Wednesday that Jesus Christ, after the resurrection, had a 40 days back-to-back what? Seminar. And in that seminar, we also saw that Jesus Christ had people asking a question after the 40 days teaching. So it is like Jesus teaching for 40 days, not dealing with a particular topic. And after the seminar, the attendees of the seminar will come to Jesus and say, okay, Lord, you've taught all of these things. We know there's no other person that can interpret the word like you do. In fact, you are the word. Right? But in the real sense, when will you restore again the kingdom of Israel? Like, I gave you a background story to that at the time they were impostors in power. The Roman guys were in power at the time, and the Israelites were looking forward to a time when their governmental body will be given back to the Jewish nation, so to say. Are we together? And we are able to see that Jesus' answer gives a template for us today. So it means that in the real sense, submissively, the concept of government, the concept of politics is a man-made conversation such that man is fully involved in decisions made. Are we together? So there are two types of kingdom, right? Right? There's the kingdom of God, and there's the kingdom of what? Man. Right? Are there two types of government? Yeah, look at Isaiah. Let's start somewhere. Why are you going to Isaiah this morning? Because you want to what? You need to just start somewhere. So look at Isaiah. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, Isaiah, verse 6. And it says, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a what? A son is given, and the government shall be upon what? His shoulder. So is there a government that should be on the shoulder of Jesus? So where they, now listen to what I'm about to ask. Were the people that asked Jesus about government's restoration, were they right in the sense of government as a concept? What am I saying is that, did they ask scriptures that show them that this Jesus, look at it now, it says, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So who is the Son? The Son is the Mighty God, who is the Everlasting Father. Are we together? Now, what did Isaiah say? Isaiah said that on this son's shoulder shall be a government. Now, when this son now was born and came into the midst of men, what did men do to him? They went to ask him, this government, when will you carry it on your shoulder? So, they were right in the real sense in the fact that they had allusions to the scriptures regarding a government that Jesus would be involved with. However, what we're not right about is the contextual explanation of that type of government. Are we together? So there's the government of man, there's the government of what? God. Now, what government will Jesus come with his shoulder, or will Jesus have in connection with? The government of God. What were they trying to make him connect with? The government of man. You see that? So there's the government of God. Let me separate it on my two hands. There's the government of God, and there's the what? The government of man. Are we together? Right? So if you are not careful in that interpretation, there's a tendency for you to what? Mix it up. You get that? So Jesus will come and teach for 40 days and be talking about government. Right? But in talking about government, he will not talk about the political government. And when he finishes, so in the real sense, you can say that the teaching meeting of Jesus for 40 days, if we were to do a flyer today, what was Jesus teaching? The theme of his teaching, the government of God. Or let's say government. Altogether. What did they get from that teaching? In the real sense, they got accurate explanation. However, there was still that part called unbelief in their hearts that made them think that, the reason why Jesus didn't teach about the government of man is that he skipped his mind. Do you understand? It's that he skipped his mind. Let's try and remind him. And they said, okay, we've answered these questions. Now, there's this particular part I want to believe that you were teaching a lot and you couldn't cover all the grounds you wanted to cover in 40 days. You know, you are so eloquent in word and 40 days is not enough for you to teach the word because you are the word himself. Right? But there's this particular part that you missed out on, and that part is the government of man. And what did Jesus say? He says, it is not for you to know. You shall receive power after. So he now takes the attention back to the government of God. Because the government of God is the government that deals with the power of the Holy Ghost. Right? Which makes them, or will make them to be witnesses. So is God a man? Is God a God of government? Yes, so he's a God of government, but his government is not the government of man. So man will establish man's government so that man will rule over man's government. So what do we try to do? Man establishes a government and man tries to rub God into that government. Did you see that? Man establishes a government and God and man tries to rub God into it, that God must participate. But the truth is that when it comes to government, the concept of government of man is handled by what? Men. Right? So in the real sense, you can by prophecy, you can by word of wisdom, word everything, by knowing things, know who can become the next governor, who can become the next senator, the next president, the next house of rep, the next queen, the next king, anything you want to know. You can know by knowledge, but to associate that is God's will because you know is to be in error. You get that? There's a difference. You can know. Right? You can know things. Is that true? You can know things from the past, know things from the future. But to say because you know it, that is God's will, is to be in error. You know there's a difference. Right? So the question becomes, what is God's government about? Now, on Wednesday, we started looking at why did Jesus come? Remember? We said, why did Jesus come? So if you looked at Jesus, what we say his mission statement was? We saw it on Wednesday, that is to what? To seek and what? Save the lost. We saw the parable in Luke 15, talking about the lost sheep, you know, being returned to the bishop and shepherd of our soul. And you know, if you pay attention to Bible interpretation, you will see that that has been the promise of God from time. So this coming week, from tomorrow, I'm going to take time to explain certain fundamental facts about Bible interpretation, just so that you understand some basic truths in Bible interpretation. Are we together? You know that scripture that says by stripes we are healed? You know that scripture, right? That says by stripes we are healed. You know that people, I have used it to heal a sick person before. Are we together? I've used it to heal a sick person before. But in using it to heal a sick person, if I was using Isaiah, not if, because I know I was, right? I was using Isaiah out of context. So Isaiah will say by stripes we are healed. Right? In the same Isaiah where he says the government of God shall be upon the son. Right? In the same Isaiah that says by stripes we are healed. In the same Isaiah that says who shall believe our report in Isaiah 60. Right? So in the real sense, when you put a context to it, Peter now explains to you by stripes we are healed is not for physical healing. Are we together? Are we together? So Isaiah will say by stripes we are healed, and because we are reading it in English language, understanding in English language, when you think of healing, you are thinking of the sick physically. However, we understand the Bible interpretation I'll teach that over the week, right? That healing was used by Isaiah as a parable to speak about those who are lost. Let me show you. Look at 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter quickly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, are you in chapter 2? Are you in 1 Peter chapter 2. Right? Look at verse 24. It says, whom his own self, 1 Peter 2, 24, whom his own self bare our sins in his what? In his own body, 1 Peter 2, 24, on the tree. Are we here? That we being what? Dead to sin should live unto what? Righteousness, by whose stripes ye are what? Healed. So what is by stripes we are healed? Ye who was dead to sin should come alive by his right doing. So what is the healing Isaiah? Now, do you believe or do you know that actually Peter is reading from Isaiah? Remember, everything that was in Peter's Bible was Genesis to what? Malachi. Where is Isaiah after Revelation? So Isaiah is where? Between Genesis to Malachi. So Peter will teach in Genesis 2. He says, by his stripes we are healed. And we say, by stripes we are healed really means man that was in sin will come alive because of the righteousness of God. So what did he use healing for? You are healed will be a parable for what? Salvation. So look at it this way. If healing is salvation, what is the sickness?
Sin.
Sin. If healing is salvation, what is the sickness? Sin. So sin is to salvation as what? Sickness is to healing. Look at that. So sickness is to healing. So you were once sick, now you are no longer sick. What does that mean? You were once in sin, now you are what? Saved. So when I don't look at the next verse, it says, for ye were as sheep going where? Astray, but ye are now returned. So what is returning back to the bishop and shepherd of your soul? Reconciliation. That's salvation. So we were once sick. So is there anybody here that was once sick? Yes. Right? Is there anybody now that is healed? Yes. Now, can there be somebody that is healed that has headache? Yes now. Right? Because the fundamental healing that salvation supplies is what? The healing of sin. So Jesus takes care of sin by the resurrection. So every believer is healed. However, believers still fall ill. Right? So what happens? We now take the power of the resurrection that got us healed and we use it to direct it towards physical illness. What am I saying? So, reconciliation comes with the giving of power. So, a man that is born again is full of power, is full of the Holy Ghost. And it means that he is no longer sick. And because you are no longer sick, you have the power of God. It simply means, by extension, you can use the power of God to cure sickness. Right? So, it means that when you look in the Bible and you see Jesus healing the sick, what should come to your mind? This is a parable of what Jesus will do in the resurrection. Are you here? I'll say it again. When you look at Jesus healing the sick, when you see a man healing the sick in the real sense, what do you call it? Miracles? What again can you call it? And what? Signs and wonder. What is a sign? A sign is that which points. So why do you call healing a sign? Because healing is a sign that points your attention to what? True healing. Did you get that? So when Jesus heals the sick, what should you see? You should see a rejoicing. You should see someone that is happy, but you should also see a sign pointing to the fact that God heals man. From what? Sin. So does God heal men from sin? Yes. Does God heal men from body ailment? Yes. So when you see the ailment, it points your attention to the healing of sin. So a man who is a believer is a man who has been healed. What does it mean to be healed? It means the resurrection power is at work in you forever. Let me ask it this way. So it means that there is never a time a believer can be sick, but a believer can be sick. Did you get it? So if you're following me, you should get that. There is never a time a believer can be sick, but a believer can be sick. You get that, right? Because there's never a time that God... So that is why it's irresponsible to think that God, your Father, wants to teach you a lesson by putting a sickness on you. You know that doctrine. So people believe that when things are going south, God is testing them. So God wants to see if you remain faithful. So what does he do? He looks like someone that is working too much. Take cancer. Just drop it there. Just take cancer. No, I don't have time for plenty things. Right? So you see, God just said, you are going into the world too much. You are going into the world. I'm telling you, son, but Arazak, that's angel Arazak. Because, you know, the angels that will do those terrible things cannot be bear biblical names. They have to bear unbelieving names. Yeah, Arazak, just... Do you still have chickenpox in your coven? You still have it there, right? Yeah, just throw it on, yeah. Then, a pastor now comes and says, check it well, God is angry with you. Right? So, God is trying to see if you will serve. Wait, if you are sick, and somebody tell you that God is trying to see you, what do you say? It's not I will serve you. You start shouting out, God, for I will serve you with all, I will praise you from everlasting. Right? So to think that God, it's like saying God throws sin on man. To say God gives man typhoid, malaria to test man, is like saying God throwing sin on man. You know what that means? That's an implication. So don't think of God as a double-sided God that has both good and evil. When you do good, he throws. When you do bad, he throws. That's what we call cheat for tat. You see, if you don't understand this fundamental knowledge of God, you will not understand how to relate with men, by extension, not understand how to pray for men. When the Bible says, pray for your enemies, look at Matthew 6. You see, sometimes, when you see some believers, you think they tear some pages from their Bible. Look at Matthew 6. And you're like, brother, are you sure you still have Matthew 6 in your Bible? When you go there, you just realize they jump from Matthew 4 to Matthew 7. Why? Because they don't want to read Matthew 6. Let's read it together. Look at Matthew 6. I want to show you something very vital this morning. So Matthew 6 now tells you, if you look at Matthew 6, I'm faster than the shadow. So go back to Matthew 5 first. I'm going to Matthew 6 afterwards, but look at Matthew 5 first. Look at verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. Are you there, Abigail? No. You are home. Look at Matthew 5, 43. Ye have heard, and it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and what? Hate thy enemy. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to be a believer to know that when someone does bad to you, you will be hurt and you want to do bad to the person? You don't have to. So that is human in nature. Right? Human in nature means that when somebody hurts you, you are looking for every other way to hurt you. In fact, some believers think they are walking in love when they decide not to hurt the person, but they are wishing things bad to happen. So they will say, you see, wait, did I not tell you? I told you now, look at it. You know, it's the same as doing it. You know there is no difference. Don't deceive yourself. That somebody does something bad to you and you respond and something bad happens to the person, you say, God, catch her. God has caught her. You see, you can't hurt the anointed and go, touch not my anointed, so light to my blind, and do my prophet no harm. You know, that's one of the fastest things we want to when people go to us. Touch not my anointed and the anointed of God, who the God, who the soul set free. When you want to look at that God right now to know how to walk in love, no, it is touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. You are not prophet enough. And you are saying it to another believer. Are we together? So you see how ridiculous it is? You are praying for another believer to a father who is the same father of that believer. Do you understand? We have the same father. The same father gave birth to us. And because you did something to me, I want my father, that is your father, to hate you, that he gave birth to. So what do? I take you up in the place of what? Prayer. To the God who is your father. Let me now ask you a question. What makes you think that God will answer your own, but the day you do bad, he will not answer your own? Do you understand? So, imagine if God answered that useless prayer. You know you will not be alive today. Because you know the people you've offended, that they've taken you up, and you know. And the only thing that assures is that you are the righteousness of God. That's what can't you see. But you know what you did. What does it mean? No, nothing evil cannot touch me. Though I know I walked in the valley of shadow, no. But you know that the reason, you know what you did. So, if your sibling is praying to God to cut your life short because you offended the same child of God or a child of God. Are we together? So, it's human to love people that love you and hate people that what? Hate you. Look at what it says. So, Jesus first acknowledges, he says, it is written, or it is said, rather, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. Dear saints, are you in verse 44? What did Jesus say? But I said, so who do you want to listen to? Jesus or it is said? Jesus now. Because even Jesus takes your mind to what was said. He now says, I say unto you, love your... is it your Bible? Is it your Bible? Is it people used to tear it away? From chapter 4, they go to what? Chapter 7. Why? Because they want to see Jesus healing alone. What did Jesus say? Love your enemy. Let me ask you a question. Who should be the closest enemy to you if you had enemy list? Your enemy or your friend's enemy? If you had enemies list, right? Who should be number one? Your enemy or your friend's enemy? Wait. So you have somebody that does something bad to you. It doesn't pay you as much as when somebody does something bad to your friend. wait. Let me use the context. My brother does something terrible to me. That same terrible thing that my brother did it to you. I'm more upset at your own than my own. It's not possible, man. The one that should get away the most is what? His own. So what am I trying to say? So it means that we have a list of enemies. Who should be on my number one? My own enemy. Who should be on my number two? So imagine she's my friend, but you did the same thing he did to me to her. Who's my second enemy? My brother there. So what is Jesus saying? Love your enemy. What Jesus is teaching here is once you tackle number one, you know how to tackle number two, number three, number four, number five. Because the most awful one to you should be what? Number one. So he says, love your enemy. Please, what's the next word in your Bible? Bless them that what? Curse you. It will not be well with you. I cut your life short. Anywhere you turn, people will run away from you. What did Jesus say we should do to those people? You see, our voice came down. What did Jesus say we should do to them? Okay, let me not ask you, what should you do to them? So what did Jesus say first? Okay, what should you do? Right, your volume must not be lower. Because what Jesus said you should do to them is what you should do to them. So he says, bless them that what? Curse you. Please, the next line is in your Bible. My own says, do good. Is it your Bible? The next statement says, to them that hate you. Is it your Bible? So is there, right? So when somebody says, I hate you, what is your response? Do good. Is it your Bible? So, he says, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully what? Use you. He didn't say start analyzing it. You are a saprophyte. You are a parasite. You know saprophyte parasite. You know those people that want to mistake. They are building their own... So, when somebody... And both of you are earning the same thing. Right? For instance. And it doesn't make you know you are earning the same thing. And it's always eating your food. You cook today, eat your food, it keeps your money. Tomorrow you cook again. Tomorrow they say, let's bring money to the table and buy. You bring £10. Right? And the person brings £90. And you are saving your own. One day you now find out. My dad, I'll talk about this later. But I remember my dad used to give an example of when he was still in the world. Himself and some of his friends, they used to smoke. And they used to use their money for smoking. But they used to bring their money to six of them in a small room. One room, they were living together, six of them. We are laughing. Six people were living in one room in Lagos, right? Unfortunately, something very terrible happened. So all of them will come together and be gathering money and be cooking big meal per week. No meal prep for the week, right? But one brother always say he doesn't have. Meanwhile, all he was working, he opened the ceiling. I was saving the money there. Oh God, you have not heard the story. So he had time. He went for everybody to go out. And he will come back to the house in the morning, and you hide it there. You know, then bank was not as regular as now, so you hide it there. So one day they were cleaning the house, he was not around. So they opened it and they just saw money dropped on the floor. And they started singing, "He has done it for us." And what they do? They picked it up. Listen to what I'm about to say. They picked it and they shared among themselves and cleaned their mouths. Hold on, no. They didn't say a word to the owner of the money. And the owner of the money, when they find out who said anything, do you understand? The owner of the money, when he found out, he couldn't say anything. One day he just went there, he was just looking, watching the house, and doing as if nothing was happening. And the man opened it, he found the money, and he started thinking, ah. You know when you start, you know when you draw something somewhere, you say, ah, I did like this. I counted it, and I dropped it, and I closed it. Then you check it again, you realize what is not there. And none of them said the word 2 years after. Why? Because he could not come and tell them, please, who took my money? Now they won't say you don't have what? Money. So those are kind of people who say, when they despitefully use you, what did Jesus say you should do to them? Pray for them. He says, and those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, look how he says, look at why he says those things. That ye may be the what? Children of your Father, which is in heaven. What is he trying to say? He's trying to say that you may act like your Father. So who is the Father? The Father is the one that blesses those that curse. The Father is the one that looks for a way of love to redeem those that are his so-called enemies. Did you get that? So Jesus, the Father, will do that. When you see that is an example of what you should want, what you should do. You know, it's easy to think, that one is Jesus that can do that one. That one, let's just leave Jesus. And Jesus, you have a high level of spiritual growth. You are in a different cloud on your own. Just stay there. Let me do my... That's why people jump this part of the scripture. You know, if you understand this, you will never in your life pray for an enemy, someone that offends you, fall down and die. And so, what, interesting. And they read it. But how do they read it? They just... Now, so, now cannot be for me. It's not me they are talking to. Jesus was talking to the believers, the disciples in this context. It's just his people. Right? So, he says... That ye may be the children of the Father. Listen to what he's saying next. Which is in heaven, for he what? Is it your Bible? For he what? Maketh his son to what? To rise on the... Is that your Bible? He makes his son to rise on the evil. So it means God does not give son to a man because the man is good. God gives son to a man because a man is a man and God is God. So God's nature of love is not a reaction to what man does. God's nature of love is an action he takes as a pre-action because he is God by himself. Did you get that? So he says that he may be the children of the Father, which maketh his soul to rise on the evil and the good. Now look how he says next. He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. What is he trying to say? There are just men on this earth and there are unjust men. God doesn't say his rain should touch or fall only on the farmland of those that are just. Then those that are not just, they will have to use buckets to water their plants. He doesn't say that. God doesn't say, you see this, my son? You see, you are unjust. Go inside darkness. Every time you wake up, it is night. When you are going to walk, you can be in a bus and it's light for everybody. But for you, for you, it is night. Right? Together. So it means that in the real sense, when you see Jesus the Father, you see a template of yourself. You most likely, on most conversations, wait for long. So the blessedness of prayer is in the fact that a man in obedience has what? Prayed, like Jesus will say, a man ought to pray and pray always. So Jesus will say, he caused sun to shine and all of that. Now look at verse 46. I'm going to show you something. Look at Matthew 5:46. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans do same. Let me put that in your context. You don't have to be a Christian to show love to somebody who shows love to you. Do you understand? But really, it takes more than being human to show love to somebody who shows hatred to you. Which one is of the Christian? Love to hatred. Which one is normal? Love to love. So love to love is as normal as hate to hate.
But there's this thing called love upon hate. All together. So he says, if you salute only your brethren, what does that mean? Somebody offends you, you are walking past the same road every day. And that is where you are, exactly where you are passing the person that you know somebody is texting you. Right? Exactly at the point, like you know the step, you know the next step that you change, that if you don't change it that way, your eye will meet. What do you do? What is Jesus saying? Jesus saying, if you salute your brethren only, what do you know that others even be? So you don't, you, just being human makes you greet your people. Are we together? But being a believer makes you take an extra step not to limit your greeting to only those who love you, who like you, those in the cycle. Are we together? Now look at verse 48 where he ends it, that conversation for now. He says, be ye therefore what? Even as your Father which is in heaven is what? So what is perfection to God? Perfection to God is showing love on top of the hatred that man supplies to you. I'll say it one more time. Perfection to God is showing love on top of the hatred. Or let me say it better. Perfection is showing love as a response to the hatred, to the bitterness that man supplies to you. Perfection is showing love to the hatred. So perfection means showing love in spite and despite what the other does to you. Perfection is showing love in spite and despite what the other, what another does to you. Say one more time. Perfection is showing love in spite and despite what another does to you, does for you. All together. So, is God a perfect God? So, when you sing that song, you are a good, good father, is who you are. Eh? With any, you know, God doesn't, God is not interested in your voice. Abi? It doesn't mean you should not sing well. Are we together? Right, so, when you sing, you are a good, good father, you are perfect in all of your ways. Is it true? In seeing his perfection, what should you see? Leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. Is that what Peter said? You saw that last week, right? Peter says, the sufferings of Christ, which is showing the perfections of Christ, is an example for us to follow his steps. So we said that. So what do you think Jesus would have done when they were persecuting him? Love them. Pray for them. So did people hate Jesus? Let me tell you something though. I want to know if you put all the hate that everybody has towards all of us in this room, multiplied by 100, is not up to the hate they gave to Jesus. You know now. You do know what cross is apart from the one on the neck. Do you know what cross is? Do you know what it is for someone to be carrying a cross and they are flogging him? Do you know what it is for them to nail somebody's hand and leg to a cross? They've not done you half. But what did Jesus do? That's why you hear Jesus the Father says, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. The same thing will happen to Stephen, who was a disciple of Jesus, who would have prayed, and they will stone Jesus to death. And Stephen will say, do not let this be counted to them. Do you know what that is? Do you know what it is? You see, today, what's happened? They say, don't, human rights. What's come to us? They just say, you know, the man is not even want to arrest you. Please, they'll be saying, they'll be begging you, please, put your hand forward, please. Stay like this, please, you know. Please, just keep quiet, please. Please. That one, before you say, tau. Before you say, they lift your face, they give you tau. As somebody is doing tau, somebody is flogging you. And Jesus will say, forgive them. For they don't know what they are doing. Even some of us, you say, this people, you say they don't know what they are doing. They know what they are not ignorant of the device of what they know. They are enough knowledge. What did Jesus say? He says, forgive them. What did Stephen say? I hope you know that 90%, even not over 95%, of the disciples were killed in similar ways. And together, they will put Philip in hot boiling oil. You know what he used to say? He said, that is the example. They want to put him. Today you want to fry, you know that green, you know that word called dodo. You know the Greek word plantain. Like today you want to fry plantain, you stay at arm's length and you throw it inside. Right? You want to fry a green pea, you stay at arm's length, you
I must explain it.
Eh? You want to do small, you want to fry unless you will say chicken. You want to fry chicken, you allow the oil to be hot. And as it's getting hot, you are listening to songs. The songs that define is giving you up in the faith. And you're, oh, you're perfect in all of your ways. When you start to be hot, what do? You put the chicken inside there. You try to do shoo, what do? You move. That is what you do to oil. Because you don't want a sting. Some of you, when oil splash on you small like this, that mark, the mark that was not there, because you have a sense of it, you start coming. And they put somebody inside oil. For the sake of the gospel. Paul stood and was consenting to the death. That was when, you know his name was never changed. Right? So Paul is Saul. Right? So Paul's name was not changed because he found God. I've taught that before. It's in the book of Acts. Right? Saul is a different language. Paul is a different language. Right? So Saul will stand and he will look. And he will be consenting to the death of Stephen. And whilst they were stoning and beating Stephen, Stephen was preaching. That was the first place Paul heard the gospel. Are we together? The first encounter of Paul's gospel is not just Paul falling on the ground and they saw. No, a man that was being killed was heralding the gospel while he was being killed. And he says, do not allow this to be taken into account for their sake. What do you think worked on their mind that way? They were men given towards prayer. Or you can't do this except by being a man of prayer. Let me tell you something. You can't handle hurt in life without being a solid man of prayer. Please take note of that. You can't handle hurt in life appropriately without being a solid man of prayer. You can't handle hurt. No, you can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. You can't. Right? You can't. So, how do you suppose, or why do you expect they handle hurt well? They give themselves to prayer well. Look at Hebrews 5. Let me show you your Lord and Savior. Hebrews 5 verse 7. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7. He says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Look at verse 1 verse did you just read? Beautiful. How did I miss that? So who in the days of his flesh? Is that where I stopped? Yeah, so look at it again. Verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up what? His prayer in your Bible. So who is the he in the day of the flesh? Jesus. Now don't forget, we started this day in Isaiah where he says the Son is the Father. The Son is the, I remember in Isaiah 9. The Son is the everlasting Father, who is the what? Mighty God. So the Son is Jesus Christ the Father. So who is Hebrews 5 speaking about in verse 7 that prayed? Jesus. So what did God pray when he was in the flesh? So if God was to come back to be in the flesh like Jesus' time, would God pray? So is prayer a thing man needs to do? Beautiful. So look at it again. He says, who in the days of his flesh, that is when he was in that is when he was, he took off in his humanity, so to say. He offered up prayer and what? Supplication with what? Strong crying and what? Tears unto him that was able to save him from what? Death. Hold on. Did Jesus pray? Did Jesus cry in the place of prayer?
Yeah.
Why do you think he cried? To show off? Okay, let's take a step back. Why do you cry? If you cry at all, why do you cry? Your emotions are what? Involved.
So something is done to your emotions, then you what? Cry. So when you see Jesus cry, you see the word there, it says Jesus cried with what? Strong crying. You know the word strong crying, there is no figure of speech. You know it's not the water in your eye. That's not figure of speech. Oh. Bible says Jesus, we'll look at it maybe today. Bible says Jesus was crying and sweating in a place of prayer. What do you think made him sweat in a place of prayer? His emotions was involved in the prayer he was praying. Did you get that? So did God pray? Did God pray? Did God cry when he was praying? What, to show off? To show? So if you had seen Jesus pray, what will you see? You will see a man groaning. What is groaning? He is groaning in the fact that he is praying. What will you see? You see a man say, so it means that you can give your emotions to things eternal and you find yourself crying. All together. You see, don't lose your tears for only when you have been given or served breakfast. You know what I mean? Right? Don't use your tears for only when somebody breaks your heart. Yeah? They say everybody will eat breakfast one way or the other. Right? So in the real sense, you give yourself. So you see, put about and say, don't be so emotional in other activities such that you control your emotions when it comes to prayer. Did you get that? Every small thing like this, when it's time for prayer, you just say, "I'm sure from Sivre." You know, most of people, the knowledge they have, Jesus does not have it. You know, we don't pray. We pray from a place of victory, my friend. We pray from a place of victory to have victory. There's ongoing and there's finished. Why did Jesus finish the work so he can settle your heart? When you now understand that your heart has been settled with the one that has been finished, what do? You now begin to pray. Guess it, you must be that man or woman that is given to prayer wholeheartedly. You know, some of you would have promptings in your heart to pray. At night, you wake up by 1 o'clock and you say, I cannot sleep. You cannot sleep. You go and pick Netflix. You say you cannot sleep. You are complaining. You pick Netflix. Some of you now, you subscribe for Netflix at Amazon Prime. What's the latest movie? You search Netflix, not your own Netflix. What do you do? You check Amazon Prime. It's not there again. You went on movie.fxl. How do you know a pastor? Somebody shared it with me. And I remembered. Some of you wake up in the night. You see, when you wake up in the night, the first thing you should think about is give yourself to prayer. You see, let me say this to you. When somebody's name comes to your heart or comes to your mind, don't water it down. There's a reason why you have those promptings. You are not an ordinary man. You are a man that is led by the Spirit. If Joshua Yusuf comes to your mind, don't just water it. Oh, he's doing fine. No. There is something. Just give yourself to prayer. And that's why praying in tongues comes in. Some of you wake up by 2 a.m. If you cannot sleep after 2 hours, that's when you go to the kitchen. Go and prepare Milo. You go and prepare Milo. You that normal day used to drink almond milk in the night. You prepare Milo. Let the Milo reach out of the cup. The first thought, pour hot water. Then you tell me I'll be whistling. At midnight, people are playing on your head. You are whistling with Milo. You are turning the Milo. When it's not finished, when it's in the 3 quarter to finish, you're not leaving. Why? Because you want to load it with milk. Then you pick milk. Then you turn it to the brain. So for the bomb that you cannot even pick it, if not to pour, you have to first sip from the cup on the table. Then you can carry it. Then what do you do? You now go and sit down. I'll be listening. You are not an ordinary being. You are not ordinary. When you wake up and you cannot sleep, give yourself to prayer. Let me say better so that you'll be calm. But the first one I said is the real thing. When you don't give, when you cannot sleep, sometimes give yourself to prayer. That's what I'm trying to say. So that you will not go and say, I'm saying every time you wake up in night, you cannot sleep. You should always be praying. Even though that should be the real case. Let me just at least try something. 2 nights out of 3 nights when you wake up, or 2 nights out of 1 night, at least use 2 nights to pray. I know people who use prayer to sleep off. You are laughing. These are the realities of believers. Anytime they want to sleep off, and you want to sleep, what you say, this night I'm going to pray for 2 hours, you better die of bed, you cover yourself, you put blankets, and you put on bed eater.
When the thing do you small, you turn the other side. If somebody makes noise small beside you, say, hey. Are we together? There's some people, I know somebody who say, anytime you want to sleep, just open the word. And that one, just open the word of God and start reading the Bible. In 5 minutes, they are gone. I'm not lying to you. I'm not joking with you. One time, they feel like they cannot sleep at night. They go and pick the word. And they put, it's not like the word is medicine to their soul. It is that they are so not involved in it that at the thought of being a better believer, they are tired. They are tired. But what happens? They sleep. That's why some people, I'm not talking for experience, but you see some people, you see them, today I'm going to listen to a message for 3 hours. Just leave the room, come back in 10 minutes. Yeah. One day, and the thing doesn't play, you say, you should know your song. Why do you listen to message only when you are sleeping? You say, your listening ear is open. It's open, you are getting the sound. You know nothing, like, you are sleeping. You say, don't worry, the word is entry. You see, it's a good practice to have a word being played when you sleep. Very solid practice. There was a time, I think I've shared this in church maybe a couple years ago, but there was a time when, and this was 2013 or 2014, I was literally, I came to the UK for summer, 2013-2014. And the summer has finished summering. So the summer was already going. For me, I wore shorts, wore sleeve, and I wore tennis. I started bouncing to the road. Where I was living was almost 1 hour to where I was going to. I didn't take anything. I walked there. Where I went to was open. Cold entered my body that day. When I was going back up, I was shaking. But I got back home, and I tried to pray. I couldn't pray. What did I do? I prayed a message going on. I was from that message. You know, the pastor had just said something. Was kind of taking out of time. You know, and I just said something. I just picked up from what he said, and I just got myself healed right on the bed. So what I'm trying to say is that, in fact, there was a day I was teaching something in church, maybe a couple months or years ago. And I was asking myself, what did I know that from? And I traced it back to the fact that there was a night that a voice woke me up when I was doing a message while sleeping. And you know when, for instance, people used to be like me, sometimes I shout, right? So if you are listening to me and your sound is going, yeah, hi, you know, a lot of times, I hope you know when I say hi, it's because some of you that are sleeping, right? You say hi, right? Somebody that is busy his money. You see, yeah, the world is working. I am sleeping. Right? So, and the pastor just caught my attention and I woke up. And I literally woke up for less than 5 minutes and was explaining something in within those seconds. And I slept off again. So I traced it back months after. So I found myself reading the scripture. In fact, I found myself, it was a question and answer session. Someone asked me a question in church, right? And I asked the question and I was like, when I go back, I was like, where did I get that knowledge from? But I knew I was right. Like, oh, there was that night. Oh, remember? And I didn't, you see, so there's that place for that. But there's also the place where you are deliberate. The only time you think the word of God, you must listen to the word of God, is 2 to 12. To 12. You've gone to work since morning. You didn't see any solid time. You didn't start your day with the word when you just woke up. It's when you are about to sleep. Father, Lord, now do you pray? Father, Lord, I just thank you. I just give you all the praise. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. I'll look my life into your hands. Be thou exalted. Right? I wake up. What happened? Wake up the next morning. What did you do? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence, power. Thank you, Lord. Some people sleep, they're not awake. But all is not like that. You know, it is knowledge that makes people say those things. You know that song? You know this song is summer food, but cannot eat. Do you know the song? Some can eat, but who are you telling? We have food and we can eat. Glory be to the old Lord. And you are singing it. Like, why do you think you will not pray well until you talk about the fact that people are doing bad? So you think you want your money. I thank you, Lord, because some people slept last night, but in the next second they went. But my Lord is not like that. I give you all the glory. I thank you for my father. I thank you for my mother. I thank you for my brother. I thank you for my siblings. And I say, your knowledge is too important. Why do you think I trust your knowledge in God's palace? My dear saints, you cannot live above your knowledge of God. You cannot. If you see your God as one who does it for that, hate on enemy. So that is what I'll do a series on Sodom and Gomorrah again. Very soon. You know, I had a review with the Nigerian leaders, the leaders in Nigerian church on Friday, for a couple of hours, and, you know, I just asked them to listen to some teachings I did in 2020 or there, but I was teaching about Solomon Gomorrah. You know, listening to them, it was so refreshing to see that people actually give their hearts to God's word. You know, there are people who, you know, what makes me happy as a pastor is when I see someone who, when you met me, you didn't know so much about God's word. Right? But you now see the transformation in their hearts. That's what gives me the highest joy in life. You know, so they were talking, explaining to me Sodom and Gomorrah, and I was so impressed, you know. So, you know, it is because of wrong knowledge that makes you think God saw Sodom and Gomorrah, saw homosexuality, and destroyed them. You know, and in that series, you can listen to Salvation, God's Great Plan, 2021. There are about 70-something tracks there. But if you start one day, you finish one day. Have it together. Average of 1 hour, 25 minutes. If you start somewhere, just start somewhere. Right, but I explained Sodom and Gomorrah, and the concept of Sodom and Gomorrah was not destroyed because of homosexuality. No. A messenger was sent about an information that would be happening, but they rejected the messenger. In rejecting the messenger, they stayed in the place of damnation and they were destroyed. Altogether. So some of us just think that, when God just sees evil on the earth, let me ask you, do you think that there's more evil now on the earth than then? That's a relative question, right? But I hope you know that men are getting devilishly worse. Men that are worse are getting worse. Are we together? Anyways, there was evil in their day. God did not just see people doing homosexuality and just say, you. Hail of fire. We are start whining. And now destroy. No. That's why you can't use Sodom and Gomorrah to teach people to stay away from homosexualism today. Wait, are you telling me homosexuality has stopped? Show me another nation that was destroyed. So that's why when Jesus even teaches from Sodom and Gomorrah, he uses them as an example of unbelief, not poor conduct. Unbelief in what? A messenger comes to say, get out of this city, destruction is coming. You see, that's the message of the gospel. Get out of sin and bondage of sin. Destruction is coming. Leave the place. In your obedience, what happened? You are saved. In your disobedience, what happens? You are destroyed. Who destroyed you? Your disobedience destroyed you. So you get a repercussion for your disobedience. Altogether. So if you don't have this knowledge, that's what will make you start doing things irresponsibly. And start singing songs anyhow. I remember there's this song, anywhere demons are gathered. You see, we grew up in that setting. You know the song? Yeah, you know the song. Yeah, you know it. Only goes fire, push them. And if any more, my God, only goes fire. Oh yeah, oh yeah, only goes fire. Only goes fire. You know, that is why, you know, believers, see, we laugh at these things, but it's true. You know, people believe there's difference between Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard anybody say Holy Spirit fire? You see, it doesn't flow. It has to be Holy Ghost fire. What is Holy Ghost? What is Holy Spirit? It's just different generation with different language. Spirit is ghost. But when you want to kill enemy, you see. So, oh my goodness. People believe that when God wants to do something good, he uses his Holy Spirit. When it is to destroy, Holy Ghost what? Fire. Anywhere they are gathered, Holy Ghost fire. Push them. Fire! In the mighty of Jesus. In the mighty of Jesus. Why? Because they lack knowledge. People are like, we're doing these things. Why do you think I'm aggressive when I teach these things? I know how well this thing can change a man. Before you slept, you asked God for mercy. The sin you committed knowingly and unknowingly. Then the next thing, after you prayer, the next thing you did was you slept off. And you woke up. And your first prayer is, God, any sin I committed, what sin could we have committed? He said, the noise or the unknown sin. But you slept all night like a baby. Understand? You prayed mercy. So mercy, oh Lord. So when I say, you know the song, I have made you too small. You know the song? In my eyes. It is not bad enough you made him small. You form tune on it. You are singing about it. I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, please forgive me. You are not even shy of yourself that you made him too small first. You made him too small, but you are singing about it. Knowledge is too key. Bible tells you that Jesus, in the day of his flesh, he gave himself to what? Prayer with strong crying and tears. Dear saints, what does that mean? It means that prayer is something that involves our emotions. Let me say better. So it means that when somebody does bad to you, and there's that tendency for you to react, that is emotions being built up, right? Is that not true? What do you do with these emotions? You channel me to the place of what? Prayer. What I'm saying, is it as easy as it sounds?
No.
Right? Somebody, see this man I'm telling you, is one of the things that has helped me in recent months, in 2 years. Praise God. Praise God. Are we together? You know, I'm not telling you that every time somebody does something to me right now, the first thing I'm thinking about is prayer. Those are people who just irritate you. They just annoy you, and you are thinking backwards. That's why my mom used to give a testimony of a brother that anytime he's going to the car park or something, and the bus conductors destroy them or abuse him, he would change it for them. He would say, I'll put my salvation aside for once and backslide for 1 minute and deal with you properly. That's the easiest thing to do now. You know that application of knowledge is not, how do you know someone who has absorbed and gotten convicted by knowledge? Is when they are in the situation. You know that? Is this what you're saying? Is this what you're saying? Wow, yes, Pastor, you're preaching good. Is this going to replicate what I've taught in the last 2-3 series? But the question is, how do you react in the midst of the storm? Let me tell you something about life. Life brings storm across the way of every man. And the fact remains that when storm comes your way, it usually would wipe away your knowledge. Do you understand? What makes a man slap you and you slap back? It is that the slap resets you. Your knowledge is gone. What do? You respond. You know that a lot of times when you respond and you see the nature of the environment, you say, I'm a believer. You know that? You know a lot of times when you react in anger in the moment, at the moment, you look back and like, you see, some of you need to have a video camera watching your life. Then at the end of every day, just watch yourself. I know they just say, see, yeah, that's my daughter, but see yourself. See. Small thing they say, you went to go and do bad fighting, you went to go and gossip. Small thing they said. But you should have those kind of things. You should be that believer such that you give yourself to prayer and God's word more, so that you can even start an insult and finish it in tongues. You know what I'm saying? The father that gave it to your father's father. Over Sheba's Kinamani keeper, Pan and Over Shakata. Ezo Zevra Kajata. And they start shouting. The shark supposed to finish the father's father. What do you do? You switch it to prayer. Over Sheba Namas. And I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of God's word. I'm born again. The guy that said, I want to put my father's father. No worry, he's blessed. You see, you must start somewhere. And when I say start somewhere, it doesn't mean you should finish the insult first. Some of you first finish the insult, then put it on top. You say, Pastor, I started somewhere. No, you see, you should be able to hold yourself in some of those conversations and those thoughts. And be like, you did something terrible. And all this thing I'm talking about happens in milliseconds. You know now. You know. How did somebody actually sat down, thought through this thing, and actually, it didn't make sense to you? And you'd be wondering. That's why you give yourself to prayer. Let me say something. Let me say this. Yeah. It is because a lot of times you are not a person given to prayer. That's why you think you can respond to everything online. Do you hear that? There's people I know. Anytime I want to, if somebody tells me there's a trending topic, I just have to go to their page. Because they must talk. There's no how. Those people don't pray. It's not possible. Because there's no how you will have time to pray deliberately and have time to type this long episode. You people will say and say the most ridiculous things online. But what do? You read, you jump, you pass, you pray. As you are reading, jumping, passing, what do? You keep praying. I'm telling you something. And sometimes I'll see nonsense online. And if you follow me online, you know that I don't respond to trending topics. I didn't just get here by being a disciplined person. No. I got here by giving myself to prayer commitment consistently. So the time I see something, in fact, there's a time somebody wrote one nonsense. And unfortunately, the person brought it to my page. And I typed, if I show you what I typed, and I type and I type and I type and I type and I end up with you are blessed. From then you are blessed. I erased everything backwards. And what did I say? I said you are blessed. You are blessed. No, I didn't say you are blessed again. You are that time. Because people are just saying nonsense. Do you know that people are actually designed to irritate you? People are designed to upset you. Like, you just have to be like, wait, are you designed to upset me? Like, what is your calling? What is your purpose in life? To upset me? And what do? Give yourself to prayer yet more. Carefully, Shabaniba. You start slowly. Sometimes you start under your breath, not even take it off. Before you know, you start shouting. You see, that shout you are supposed to, that shout you are supposed to use to shout on another human being. What do? Use it to shout in the place of prayer. When you go out for a place of prayer and come back, the human being might still be doing that terrible thing, you know. What do you do? In lot of just remind yourself, either you keep praying and remind yourself that you've prayed and shouted in the place of prayer. And just give yourself like Isha Brahmana. Because Jesus says there's a response expected from a believer because you are a believer. There's a response expected from you. So the question is, how do you respond? Let me ask you this way. How close is your response to what Jesus is expecting? Did you get that? Please note that. How close is your response to activities? How close is your response to hatred? How close is your response to the storm of life? How close is it to what Jesus is expecting? So, if Jesus were to sit beside you, would you have slapped that person back? Some of you, your heart is so gross that you say yes. You see, you need to learn how to take over or take control of your reactions and responses to the activities of life. You need to learn it. And you only learn it from the place of prayer. Never forget, prayer is the bridge for us. See, if you see me attend special meetings, for instance, when I go for meetings of my mentors or anything, when I'm taking notes and listening to God's word, a lot of times I have tongues under my breath. Because it's not just enough to know the English teaching. It's not just enough to know the Greek word. They are good. But to live a solid Christian life is way more than just knowing the Greek word. So there's something that transcends. There's something expected. How do you flow into it? By being a man of prayer. By giving yourself to prayer. Right? The energy you would have used to plan the downfall of another man, give it to prayer. Let me ask you a question. You know that you have control over your emotions. Okay, it sounds strange. Let me say better. You know you can have control over your emotions. You see, this one you can answer. You know you can have control over your emotions. Let me show you how now. You know, if you are from the part of the world where I come from, right, people drive anyhow. Right? People drive anyhow. In fact, one of the things that has made me adapt to a driving system in this place is because if someone said to me maybe 2 years or 3 years ago, and someone 2 years ago thereabout, and the person said, how come you have never insulted anybody when you are driving? Really, truly, I've never. I've been driving for maybe 10 years. Yeah, maybe next year I'll make it 10 years now. Yeah, 9, 10 years. I've never for once looked at somebody that did nonsense and I insulted the person. It's not easy. It's not easy. You know what I do? When I drive, I don't look into the... You know how when you're driving, someone does nonsense to you. When you're passing the person, you look at the person like this. And it's not good. Sometimes, when it does nonsense to you in your front, you want to speed to pass, then go beside the person. That's true. And that one will just satisfy you. But me, no matter how much you drive, I try my best. I'll just smile about it. I don't shout. Have you ever heard me shout? I've never driven beside that. Somebody does nonsense beside me. In fact, you know people who are doing nonsense beside me, except you are watching. It's not the one that, Abby, is your father's father at home? Did they give birth to you? But you also know that, you know, the most irritating one is when someone drives closer to you and the person's car is tinted. when all the glass is black, right? It should be pinning you. And you know the funny thing is, you will now drive towards the person, unfortunately the person doesn't have wind down. It will not pin you more. Better go back to driving school. Right? But you know, if you were going to insult a person that was driving that way and he drove nonsense in front of you and he rolled down his glass and you saw military uniform, you know you comport yourself. You know you will comport yourself. So, though the storm is raging, right? No matter how raging the raging is raging, when you see the police uniform or the military uniform, it's not police, military uniform, what happens? You control yourself. Calm. Where I come from, some of you will know this, right? On the dashboard of people's car, you see one of two things. Koboko or what? Cap. That's just how to reset people. That's how to. Some people, they cannot even run from here to there. Like they'll be panting. They don't have any soldier training. But they just borrow the car from their friend, and they put on their mirror NDA, Nigeria Defense Academy, and they put Koboko. You see, some people when they drive, I know people who when they drive, you'll be seeing them in their hand and be flogging people that are on bike. Yes, people are on bike. You know what they call bike? Bike is Okada. Yeah. All right. So you see me on the road. Like so much energy for anger. While you are driving, you know. And I've never seen any of them have accident eventually. They can multitask so. And you see, they are driving, insulting, and flogging. All together. But the question becomes, how close is your response to when man does evil to you? Answer that question yourself. That question, let me say this to you, dear saints. When you get the real answer to that question, it will show you how far your prayer life is from what it ought to be. Do you hear that? When you go back home and answer that question, and it will show you how far your prayer life is from what is meant to be. All together. So on Wednesday, I'm going to take it off from there. And I'll explain to you on Wednesday, why did Jesus pray? I started explaining it, right? Because he was in relationship with what? Other men. It's only a man of prayer that can see his betrayer come to him and say, friend. Only a man of prayer, I'm telling you. You know he betrayed you. You know he's about to pay out the betrayer. Right? And Jesus will say, friend, do that which you've come to do and do it quickly. So if they never betrayed, they just said you were not at work. Or they just said you came late. So is it your business? Why are you looking to my business? Why are you looking to my word? You don't have a job. Go and get out. Wait, do you know what Judas was doing? Judas was going to give Jesus away by a kiss. By a kiss. First, let me first tell you one thing you should not miss as a knowledge. For people not to have been able to identify Jesus without somebody pointing him out, it means he was a humble man. So it means that Jesus looked like others to the point that he needed somebody from the inner cycle for them to say, show us who he is amongst the multitude. Only a man of prayer can be that humble. That's God that came to save the world. So you see Jesus praying with strong tears. It's not a joke. Be plain. When you see Jesus praying, and tears are coming out, it's not to make you impressed that is a man of prayer, is a prayer warrior, is a prayer. No, he knew what was coming. It is only when you are a solid man of prayer that when you stand in the midst of adversity, you will know how to respond. I just look at the man that came to betray him. He said, friend, oh my God, do you want to call a man that will betray you friend? Like, you are seeing him coming to you.
My friend, do that which you need to do and do it very quickly.
What a man! What a man! What prayer I did for Jesus was he steadied his heart. Mind you know the funny thing? We'll see that on Wednesday. Jesus took all night to pray to choose his disciples. So Jesus picked disciples from a place of prayer. What I'm saying is that Jesus did not pick disciples based on knowledge. I feel like this man has a leadership voice. I feel like he has connection rhymes. I feel like he will do it as a minister. No. Jesus took 12 men from the place of prayer. Bible says he prayed for 12 hours, back to back. Why was he there for 12 hours? Mind you, Jesus prayed for 12 hours, and out of the 12 he chose, one was betrayer, one was denier. You're laughing. He prayed all night, and out of the 12 he chose. One of them. What is 12? What is 12? 12 is maybe 15 to 18% of the 100%. And don't forget about the other thing. Let me put this in context for you. Do you know who Judas was? You know, Judas was a treasurer. Do you know what it means to be a treasurer for Jesus and his crew? It means that they trust you and entrust you with their funds. It's easy for treasurer to run away. It's easy. I remember there was one man, I think in my mom's office, I remember telling me the story. That was over 10, 12 years ago, 15 years ago actually. And the man gathered people's money, all of them were doing a job. No one called a job. A job is a way of saying contribution. This man has relocated with everybody's money out of the country. They look for the DC. But why do you think the rest are sure giving that money? He's a treasurer, he should be trusted. Judas was the treasurer of the government of the disciples. So yet in the access to he had to money, they still gave him money. And they say, show us who the Jesus is. And he went there and he killed Jesus. And Jesus called him friend. Peter knew. Jesus knew that Peter would deny Jesus. What did Peter say? Jesus, you and I will change the world. Holy Ghost, you and I will change. You and I, you. This is not Holy Ghost, it's about you. You and I, Jesus. Forget. See, Jesus, if you doubt every other person, don't doubt me. Forget it. What Peter would have done with that energy to boast is to pray. You know that? What Peter would have done, rather than boasting to Jesus, he should have prayed. What did he say? Me? I can never do it. Jesus, if each of them, see their faces. They may not look like they look like they trust you. But all of them, and Jesus looks at him and says, I know the end from the beginning. Before the cock crows, you deny me 3 times. Jesus, you see, everything you've been saying, I know you've been saying things that make sense, but now you're actually saying nonsense. Me, I cannot deny you. Forget it. No. Share another vision. Open your eye where your eye are closed. And the funny thing was, Jesus prayed. Jesus knew. Jesus told Peter. Peter knew. Peter still denied. Do you understand? Peter knew. You know, it should have been different if Peter did not know. Then Jesus will now be Peter after he denied him. And I said, I told you about Thomas now. What did I tell you? I said, you will deny me 3 times. That's different knowledge. But Jesus said, Peter, you will deny me 3 times before the... You know what cockroo is? That before you hear kukurukuru. 3 times. He said, do you know Jesus? Is that a name of your animal priest or thing? You know Jesus, 3 times. I know for anything, as soon as he did it the 3rd time, his head came back. You know, if they are telling you that you're supposed to be, saying it to yourself and say, no, Jesus said, I won't do it. No. Jesus said, so in fact, maybe if you're going to stay where human being will not ask you questions. So you are safe. You know, but eventually, what happens? Peter denies. And guess what? After the denial, Jesus resurrects and says to Peter, feed my lamb. He says to Peter, feed my sheep. He says to him 3 times. So Peter was still the elder amongst the elders. Yet denied. It's only a man of prayer that can make such decisions. only a man of prayer. That is why Jesus prayed. So when you are still praying, and everything I hear you pray about, Lord, I need a job. Lord, I need a car. Lord, I need this thing. Everything I need. That is why when they betray you, what happened? They need a slap. They need a punch. Are we together? How close is your response to what God expects from you? When you find that out, you know how far your prayer life is from how it ought to be.